From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. This week, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies on the doctrine of the person and work of the Holy Spirit, a subject of vital importance for the Church of Jesus Christ. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Drawing Near to God. The text is James chapter 4, verse 8. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. The nearer we come to God, the more graciously will He reveal Himself to us. When the prodigal comes to his father runs to meet him. When the wandering dove returns to the ark, Noah puts out his hand to pull her in unto him. When the tender wife seeks her husband's society, he comes to her on wings of love. Come then, dear friend, let us draw nigh to God who so graciously awaits us, yea, comes to meet us. Did you ever notice that passage in Isaiah 58, verse 9? There the Lord seems to put himself at the disposal of his people, saying to them, Here I am, as much as to say, What have you to say to me? What can I do for you? I am waiting to bless you. How can we hesitate to draw near? God is nigh to forgive, to bless, to comfort, to help, to quicken, to deliver. Let it be the main point with us to get near to God. This done, all is done. If we draw near to others, they may before long grow weary of us and leave us. But if we seek the Lord alone, no change will come over his mind, but he will continue to come nearer and yet nearer to us by fuller and more joyful fellowship.
Thank you.
Regular Bible reading is an essential part of the Christian life. In the Holy Scriptures, God has given us everything we need to know for salvation, for spiritual growth, and for the many issues and problems that believers face. However, many Christians do not profit from the Bible as they should because they have no guidance as to how to study it. Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us, if you wish, at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. Or if you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. This week on Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Alan Cairns continues his studies in the person and work of the Holy Spirit as he brings the next portion of a message called The Gifts of the Spirit. As Dr. Cairns has pointed out, there are those who deny the miracles of the Bible. Such atheistic people are simply saying that God has no right to interfere in the affairs of men. Then there are groups who insist that all of the miraculous gifts of the New Testament are available to the church today. Yet those who claim those miraculous powers today fail to recognize that whether in the Old Testament or in the New Testament, miracles were always related to God's revelation of redemption. Now that the canon of Scripture is closed, there is no need for such supernatural demonstrations, for God is not now revealing something new. Now Dr. Cairns continues this message, The Gifts of the Spirit.
The miracles of the New Testament are never given apart from revelation. And indeed, 1 Corinthians 13 looks forward to the time when the miraculous will cease to happen. We read verse 8, charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall feel, that is, they shall cease. Where there are tongues, they shall cease. Where there is knowledge, and the knowledge here is the gift of supernatural knowledge, it shall vanish away. So there is certainly an impermanence to these spiritual and supernatural manifestations. In other words, miracle in the physical realm, I'm not talking about God regenerating a soul, God creating us anew in Christ. Those are spiritual acts of God. I'm talking about, as Paul is talking about here, manifestations in the physical realm. Miracle is not something that God will do today. Not that he can't. God can do anything that he wills to do. But he wills that miracle is a part of the revelation of redemption. Now, of course, the charismatic movement claims all these supernatural gifts. For instance, they have the gift of prophecy, so they say. And to them, this is a direct revelation from God. It is an extra scriptural revelation from God. This is a very serious departure from the historic Christian faith. If you read the history of the Great Awakening here in the United States of America in the 18th century, you will find that that great revival was brought to a grinding halt by the live fire of the forebears of the current charismatic delusion. Wild fire brought that revival to a halt. And this enthusiasm, as they called it in those days, fanaticism, as we would call it today, was certainly an instrument in the hand of the devil to bring to naught what was a superabundantly fruitful work of the Spirit. These are people who would say, God told me. Oh, God told me. The Lord spoke to me. Do we not hear that kind of thing constantly today? The Lord told me this, the Lord told me that, the Lord told me the other thing. And usually it's not a matter of the scripture being applied to the heart. Usually it's not a matter of a man getting down before God and laying his heart bare before the Lord until the Holy Spirit takes the scripture and applies it with power to the soul. That's not what they mean. They say, the Lord told me. And they move on that impression with all the certainty of scripture. It's just as if they find it written in the Bible. God told me. So that you then have the awful folly. And I have talked to people like this, where they go in that direction because God told them. As soon as they run into a little trouble, they go the very opposite direction because the Lord told them. Men and women, let me tell you, any claim to extra biblical revelation is a very dangerous thing. I realize that there are events in church history that with our current knowledge it's very difficult to explain. I was thinking of this last night. I was pondering the famous occasion in Scottish church history when Sandy Peden announced to people the death of John Brown. Sounds supernatural. I have to say that I don't understand all the details. I have a feeling that Sandy Peden, in Scotland they have a word, they say he's fey. Well, I don't know if that would be true or not. I think that Sandy Peden had a real bit of Scottish gumption and insight. I don't know. He may even have been able to see the soldiers going in the direction and come to the conclusion. I don't know. But I will say this, that it is dangerous for any man to claim a divine revelation apart from the scriptures of truth. Now the charismatics certainly claim all these spiritual and supernatural gifts. It's a false claim. I want to make the statement today without any trimming or adding any trappings to take away from its force. The gifts of the charismatic movement today are not the gifts of the New Testament. The tongues they practice are not even remotely connected with the tongues of Scripture. The tongues of Scripture were the miraculous impartation of the ability to speak in a language that a man had never learned in order to communicate the great things of God to a waiting people. Acts 2 is very clear in that. Their gifts of prophecy and the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom, the interpretation of tongues, and the gifts of healings, and the doing of miracles. These things are not remotely connected to what we have in the New Testament scriptures. I mean, can you imagine anything more ludicrous? There are people who tell us they have the power, the same gift as these people. The same gifts. They have pure, supernatural, and miraculous power. But they have to spend hours begging for money that people would make their miracle happen. I mean, can you imagine anything more ludicrous? It's crazy. Or Roberts tells us about the miracles that he has in his power to do. I mean, he's the one who for a lifetime conned his people into thinking that he could heal them. It was always God's will to heal them. When he milked that cow dry, what does he do? He builds a hospital. Sort of strange. Could you imagine the Apostle Paul building a hospital? Could you? Now, I'm not saying anything against building a hospital. I think it's a good thing for the Church of Jesus Christ be able to minister in every area and preach Christ. But I'm simply saying that if I have the purely miraculous power to say to this man, rise from the dead, I don't need Maggie Mortuary, do I? Randy Bureau Job. If I have the purely miraculous power to say to this man, be healed, I don't need a hospital. Theirs are not the gifts of the New Testament. There is a basic rule that you should keep in mind, that the kind of activity of the Holy Spirit is always bound up with the state of revelation. In a period where God is giving new revelation, there is always a miracle. There's always, because the giving of revelation itself is a miracle. Inspiration is a miracle. So there's always, of necessity, a miracle involved in the giving of new revelation. But where you have a completed revelation, where God is simply is not the best word, but to draw the contrast with what I've just said, where God is simply enabling us to use the revelation that is already completed, and we are not given the authority to add anything at all to it, then there is not the inclusion of miracle. God did give miraculous gifts to the New Testament church. The purpose of those gifts was to validate the revelation that he was then given. Therefore, since there is no revelation being given today, Scripture is complete, there is no proper use of the miraculous today. In parentheses, let me just draw to your attention that redemption is not yet complete. And therefore its revelation is not yet complete. The day of redemption has yet to dawn. The day of Christ's appearing has yet to come. And in connection with that, God is yet again going to send two witnesses, two prophetic witnesses, two vehicles of revelation. And in connection with them, you have the reinstitution of the miraculous. That's just immediately prior to the coming of Christ. Therefore, until the two witnesses come, I will hold what I believe the Bible is teaching here, that this is not the period for pure miracle. But, that's a very big but. This is where I said we can't go to either extreme. But, every one of these supernatural gifts has its reflection in a real ongoing ministry of the Holy Ghost in the church. In other words, the fact that there is not a miraculous activity of the Spirit through the church today gives us no ground to say that there is not a real activity of the Spirit through the church today. Here there are nine gifts. Verses 4 to 6 use three words to describe those gifts. First, there is the word gifts, from which we get the word charismatic. That's speaking of the provision of the gifts. The idea in the charis part of that is grace. These are gracious gifts. Speaking now of the provision, the source of the gift. Then we have the word ministrations. That comes from the word that we associate with service. That's the purpose of the gifts. It is to serve the church of Christ. And then we have the word operations or energies. That's the power, the full energy of the Holy Ghost imparted to the believer, which enables him to work for God. It's very interesting that if you look at these nine gifts, the first two speak of the intellectual equipment that's needed for the ministry. And then the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh of them speak of the spiritual equipment that's needed for the ministry. And then the last two, the use of the mouth, would be the practical equipment for the ministry. Now, I don't really have time to go into every one of them in great detail. But let me point out this to you, that they do have their application to us today. The word of wisdom originally was a supernatural gift. But what is the word of wisdom? What's its application today? Well, what is wisdom? What is wisdom? 1 Corinthians 1:24. Christ crucified is the wisdom of God. In this whole 1 Corinthian epistle, wisdom is God's plan in the cross. That's the wisdom of God. What is knowledge? Knowledge is the facts of the gospel set forth in all their clarity. It's interesting that in writing to the Colossians, the Apostle Paul has said that in Christ is all the fullness of wisdom and knowledge. The word or the expression of wisdom and the expression of knowledge is the ability to preach Christ. And the Holy Spirit's great activity in the church today is to enable the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you, it is a specific and definite gift of the Spirit of God that enables a man to proclaim the gospel completed in the crucified Christ. When you realize how many preachers there are today who are living their lives and they're going through their ministries and they have never once got to the heart of the gospel. We're living in a day when there are preachers and they can preach on the sex revolution, they can preach on AIDS, they can preach on the drug culture, they can preach on everything under the sun, and I'm talking even about Bible-believing preachers, but they have never once conducted their people to the heart of the cross. They don't have the gift of the word of wisdom. Let me tell you that. But you'll notice this comes right at the very top of the list of the gifts. This is the most important thing in the ministry of the church. What could be more important than the gift of making Christ crucified plain to man?
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615.
Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.